Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week on the show, to celebrate the release of the new Hellboy movie starring David Harbour and Mila Jovovich, I've got to get that name right, and directed by Neil Marshall.
What a bold name to say straight up.
I know, completely. Jovovich. I had to look it up to make sure that I was saying it correctly. I think for years I've been saying Djokovic, but it's completely wrong.
Are you serious?
Anyways. Hmm. Yeah. We should make a shirt out of that, maybe. Maybe we could.
Djokovic. Cool.
Anyways, we thought we'd take a trip down memory lane and have a look at the original version of the character with the 2004 film Hellboy, starring Ron Perlman and directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Mainly because none of us have seen the new one and kind of don't want to.
And that's true.
Yeah.
And just like this movie is a reboot, this podcast is also a reboot because we're recording for the second time.
They're not going to know. Yep.
Well,
why are we telling
them?
They
will now. Why are we re-recording, Paul?
Yeah.
Just technical issues, you know? Life of the podcast.
Yeah, we had a few technical issues on the first recording.
I know. Why would you bring that up?
Back. But yeah, anyways, getting back to Hellboy, does it soar like an eagle or simply flip the bird? What did you think of this movie, Dane?
It is pretty good, I thought. I think I enjoyed it like more in hindsight, I think. As in, like, it wasn't as good as I remembered it, but it was still awesome. I think it still held up pretty darn well. And
yeah,
definitely soars like an eagle.
Did you see it when it first came out? Like,
probably like a year or two after it came out.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. What about you, Paul? What did you think of this movie?
Well, I never saw it until we had to watch it for this podcast.
Really?
The thought of it always intrigued me, so I was very keen to give it a go. It was, it was okay. I'm sure in 2004 it was good, but I was a little bored. And the effects some of the effects were great. They did a lot of practical stuff that still holds up. Practical stuff always holds up.
Yeah, absolutely.
But some of the CGI was a bit, how you going?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely
got it. It looked like Fantastic Four CGI.
Oh, no, I wouldn't go that far. I think it's a bit better than Fantastic Four.
It's not.
It is.
Some parts of it are way better.
But Fantastic Four has like that really terrible space scene, like when they first get to space and it's just horrible CGI. This at least is going for like all out CGI characters, which doesn't quite hold up in a lot of parts, but it's a bit more complex kind of.
It does look a bit better than the Mr. Fantastic stretchy. Weird rubber.
That does look bad.
Definitely.
That's it looks so bad.
Terrible.
But,
But,
2004. Mm. So I'd give it like, it's not soaring. It's what do you call it? The average ostrich?
Average ostrich, yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, but it's an emu, isn't it, right?
Oh, the emu. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's an emu.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Well, part of the reason that I wanted to actually do this movie is because I actually own it on DVD, and it was like the first movie that I thought, oh, fantastic. This is going to be a movie where I don't actually have to pay money to go watch it, or, I can just grab it out of the DVD case. So when it came time to watch the movie, I went straight to my DVD drawer and pulled it out, and of course, it's gone. Like, there was the special features and there was like no DVD in there. So I was like, damn it. Like,
welcome to Nerds Before Birds. Today we're going to be talking about specifically the special features and all the stuff on disc 2.
yes, exactly.
Because some of us have lost disc 1.
A lot of great special features, and it's great seeing them.
Let us know what's on disc 1. We're really eager to find out.
Yeah, how was the gag reel? Was the gag reel good?
I honestly didn't even put in the special features because I was like, I'm just going to hire the movie on YouTube. So I went and I hired the movie thinking, okay, you can get it for half the price for hiring it kind of thing. So you hire it for like $4 or whatever, but to buy it, it was like $7. Yeah, so I was like, yeah, okay, I think I can watch it in 48 hours.
Yeah, 48 hours.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, sweet. I'll watch it. It'll be fantastic. So I started it, and then I didn't quite finish it. So in the 48 hours, so then I went and rented it again.
You bought it again?
What? Yeah, yeah. So it cost me like $8 when it was like $7 to buy. And then the other night, I was like, I'll just do a quick search and I'll see if I can actually find this DVD. And sure enough, it's just in another case, like right next to it.
Yeah, what case was it in?
Oh, it was in like just like a blank case that I had with some of my own movies and stuff in it. So I was like, oh, of course, I'm never going to look there. But
so you spent $8 on a movie that you could have gone to JB Hi-Fi, bargain bin, $5, and bought it.
Yeah, for sure.
And you don't even own
it. I already owned it as well.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't even have to do that. I just had to, like, search better in my drawer.
You spent $8 to watch a movie that you already owned.
Yeah.
Jason has to come out. He has to come out to his family and say, look, I'm sorry. We're not going to have dinner tonight. Daddy needs to watch Hellboy again.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, kids. Just last out till payday because I've already spent all our money.
There's plenty of crumbs under the seats that you've put there, you animals.
So here, eat this DVD that I recently found.
Considering all this and like how financially unstable you are now because of this movie.
Oh yeah, completely.
I really hope you liked it.
I look, that kind of dampened it a little bit, to be honest. But I did like it. Like it does soar like an eagle for me, just. But I think overall, because of the practical effects, like you were saying, Paul, it is fantastic, those practical effects. Sure. But but to this kind of some of the CGI dates poorly, and and even the story itself isn't that great, and it kind of is a little bit anticlimactic when you finally get to the end. It sort of just ends. It doesn't really go anywhere, but that's just my thoughts. So let's get into the plot a little bit because we'll break it down. So if you haven't seen this movie and you're listening to the podcast, we're going to get into the plot just a little bit now, and it will probably spoil things, but I mean, the movie's been out for 15 years, so maybe.
So if you don't have the $4.95 or in Jason's case, the $9 to rent it twice, maybe stop listening or just go and buy it for $3.50 at Sanity.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You can do anything right now that is better than what I did.
Find Jason's copy, use that, whatever.
Yeah. Learn from me.
But yeah, so the movie opens in 1944 in Scotland. We're introduced to Trevor Rottenholm? I don't know. But it's Professor Broom. He goes by, everyone calls him Professor Broom. And he introduces to the character of Rasputin, who is opening this portal into hell or something like that, right? Do you understand exactly what his whole plan is?
Yeah, they talk about how there's the seven gods of chaos.
Yeah.
And what he's trying to do is, it's not technically hell, well, kind of is, but he's opening a portal because the seven gods of chaos are in either deep space or like another realm.
Yeah.
And he's trying to bridge the gap and bring hell to Earth.
That's right, yeah. And so in this moment, we're also introduced to Ilsa and Cronin. Cronin? I don't know how you say his name, but I'm going to say Cronin. But
it is Cronin.
It is Cronin? Okay. Yep. Anyways, you said that really confidently, but I don't know whether that's accurate.
Well, because I watched the movie and they say it, so I'm just using that as reference, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
My viewing of Heckboy.
Yeah.
It's the PG.
I don't know how you pronounce that either. Is it Hellboy or is it Heckboy?
Hillboy.
I think it's Hellboy.
They forgot the apostrophe. H-E-L-L. Boy.
Or is it like each L is pronounced separately? So, hello, boy.
Yeah.
Hello, boy.
Hello, boy.
Anyway, so he arrives through the porthole after Rasputin gets sucked in with like, it's kind of cool in like the CGI is a bit crap, but
picture like Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. Well, Ark of the Covenant looked better in some ways than this CGI. But anyway, so they get sucked through. Also, I forgot to mention that there's Nazis here as well because they're part of the whole Nazi thing. Because
Hitler's occult force. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's turning to the occult to win the war.
Yeah, yeah. It's the last ditch attempt to win the war. So yep. he's like, yeah, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the occult. That's what you do.
It sounds like in any sitcom when like the father or husband figure stuffs up and he's just like, okay, maybe I can move to Brazil and I can do all of this. And then maybe, just maybe, we're going to be okay. And you're like, that's where Hitler is at the moment. It's 1944. And he's like, what if we summon a demon? And they're like, yeah, let's give it a red hot go.
Well, nothing else is working for him. So they're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Let's give it a red hot schnell.
Yeah. But yeah, did you think that Rasputin kind of looks like an evil priest in this like movie, like his design? Were you getting
is he the dude with the beard?
Yeah, the Russian guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not really. He kind of more looked like, okay. Who's the dude who was the bad guy in the first Sherlock Holmes movie that Robert Downey Jr. did? And he was also in Kingsman and...
Are you talking about Adam... Mark Strong.
You're talking about Mark Strong. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that. Like, just like a weird
sorcerer. You reckon? Like, he's in Shazam as well. Like, he's the guy from Shazam. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I didn't get that vibe, but yeah, okay.
I got a bit of a, like, is he from Vikings or something? Because he seemed to be, like, he looked a bit, like, Loki kind of thing to me.
No, he's not, but I get that. Like, he's definitely, he definitely has that look to him.
For sure.
But yeah. Yeah. So anyways, Rasputin gets sucked into the other world or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a sentence you thought you'd say today?
No.
Rasputin got sucked into the other world?
No, that is not a sentence.
There's a t-shirt right there. Oh, what's your shirt? Oh, it just says Rasputin got sucked into the other world. Fake news.
Yeah, yeah, that's available now on our our Redbubble page.
Yep,
so, yeah. Anyways, so he goes into the other world and I'm like trying not to say it now. And at this point, Hellboy sneaks through somehow. Nobody sees him.
He gets thrown through the portal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and Professor Broom's like, something's come through or whatever, or something could have come through. So they all do a search with all the army, allied army, sort of look around and they find him. Mm. And they're like, yeah, okay, this guy's definitely not going to be bad news for us. So
we're
just going to adopt him and nothing could ever happen bad from here. So they're like, yep, you're going to be Hellboy. That's what we're going to call you.
That's right.
And then what happens? It's, what?
Oh, well, then what happens is it hard cuts to the future.
Yeah, that's right. 60 years later.
Yeah, 60 years in the future, sorry.
Yeah.
Broom has cancer, so that's something.
Yeah, that's
he
true.
He does.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's dying. And then we see Rupert Evans' character, John Myers, rock up at some FBI facility, doesn't know what it is.
Yes.
And he goes in there and he, you know, he walks through this room and he meets a weird fish guy called Abe Sapien, who is acted by some bloke that I don't care about. He's voiced, though, by David Hyde Pierce.
Shut up.
Bloody Niles Crane.
Are you serious?
Doug Pierce. Doug Jones. I just said, like... Doug Hyde Pierce. Doug Jones is like, you would know him. Like, he's in so many movies. He's the creature effects guy. Like, everyone goes to him. He's in like
Doug
Star
Jones.
Trek.
You talking about?
Yeah, he's on Star Trek Discovery.
He was Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Wow.
He was?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Wow.
I didn't know that. Again, not using his own voice.
Dude, he is such a good character actor. Shut up.
Yeah, but you know what he's not? He's not a psychiatrist and brother to famed psychiatrist Dr. Fraser Crane. So I don't care.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I kind of remember like with the credits. What's his name? Whoever the guy you're talking about, Paul.
David Hyde Pierce wasn't credited.
He wasn't credited.
Best supporting actor for like 8 years in a row.
That's that dude. Who cares about him?
Yeah.
He requested not to be... credited for this because he fully believed that it was Rupert. It was Doug Jones's performance, not his.
Just throwing out random names down.
Oh my gosh.
Doug Hyde Pierce Jones.
Kyle.
Yeah.
Doug Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, see, if you take away David Hyde Pierce, he's just like a weird mime.
Yeah, but in
David Hyde Pierce gives Aid Sapien character.
Yeah.
And you care about him. Doug Jones is just some bloke in a costume.
No, I think Star Trek Discovery, I totally could have pictured him like with that voice that he does for his character in Discovery. Saru.
You don't have to picture it, though, because in the sequel to this, he actually uses his own voice.
Does he?
He's not. David Hyde Pierce doesn't come back
I
for
didn't
the
realize
sequel
that.
Like doing the voice acting. Just Doug Jones there does it go. Straight up. And it's kind of jarring if you watch him back to back, but I actually really like that aspect of the sequel. Like, the sequel's not a great movie by any stretch, but that
what
aspect.
What do you mean? It's got Doug Jones.
It does have Doug Jones.
Wow. How is it not better?
It's
because Niles Crane
rips off Lord of the Rings. Like, wait, no, it's nothing
You've
to
turned
do
your
with Niles Crane.
Camera off. I can't tell whether you're being sarcastic or not, Paul.
Yep, that's good. Keep it that way.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
You'll never know.
Mystery about this whole thing.
I like it. I'm flipping you off right now, but you can't tell.
Yeah, fair enough. So we're introduced to Abe, and he's like in a what's the name? At this point, Rasputin's resurrected by Ilsa and Cronin.
Bit of a stitch up how he comes back. They pay a guy to take him to a secret temple, and the guy's like, yeah, sick. That's great. I love money and showing people stuff in the mountains.
Yeah.
And then they kill him after paying him with Nazi gold.
I wonder at what point he realized he's just going to get murdered, because he's getting like escorted up there by two people that like one's in like a like a mask and like a
face.
Whole outfit. He can't see his face. He doesn't see his face the whole time. And yet
it's like, cold.
Yeah, I get that. But anyways,
so they kill their guide, bit of a dick move,
yeah,
bit
they
of
do.
A 1 out of 5 on like Uber. And his blood is used to resurrect Rasputin, which is
I think
also
he should
a
get
old.
A 5 out of 5. Like, I mean, that's he's going the extra mile
that's
for
pretty,
them.
Yeah,
like,
massive commitment.
Did he? No. It'd be like a 1 out of 5, like a traveler rating. The driver's like, you know,
Yeah, when you're reviewing like the reverse review. Yeah,
that's
okay.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
So that happens.
Wouldn't give them a lift ever again. Can I?
1 out of 5. Do not do business. Anyway, after that, we cut back to Booth. Not Booth. What's his name? Boot. Boom, broom. Cut
broom,
back to Professor Broom. Sorry. And John Myers. And he's introducing him to sort
that's
of the run of crap that happens around it. That's right.
The boom, boom, boom.
Dr. Boom. Victor von Boom.
Boom, boom, broom.
The boom, boom, broom.
Yeah.
Broom. he's showing him around that place that they're in. And they meet Hellboy. Mm-hmm. Hellboy doesn't like Myers, but he also doesn't like anybody.
No.
And then an alarm goes off and it's time for them to work. And it turns out some crap has gone down in a museum. We see what happens in the museum, and we see that it is good old Ras, Ilsa and Cronin rocking up, cutting some stuff in half and putting some liquid into some sand and summoning a hell dog.
A
hellhound.
A Samael.
Samael. Good old Sammy.
Samael? I don't know.
Yep. Let's go with that.
Those creatures, which they then have like a whole showdown with one of them, and he runs after one. And there's the whole line in there where there's a car coming and it's about to hit Myers' character, like the character of Myers, and he jumps in front of it and he's like, red means stop, and hits it.
Destroys
it. But that line is so lame.
Such
like,
good one-liner.
I couldn't help but think that that's the kind of line that sounds like cooler in your head than it actually does when you actually say it. It's like, I bet he feels like really cringeworthy afterwards. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had any experience with that.
Yeah.
You've never experienced that before?
But never.
That's like your everyday, right?
No, never done that. Everything I say is awesome and there's no regret ever.
No regrets. No
definitely
regrets.
Not one line is that I say in my head that sound great, but in reality sound like an absolute idiot.
Yes, completely.
There's also one bit in that fight that I like. After he's fighting the dog, he kills it, and Abe is reading stuff about the hellhound. And there's like one little line where he's like, you know, Prince of whatever, Lord of Resurrection. And he's like, see, I don't like that. And he turns around and he's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty funny.
It is pretty cool. Like, I do like these creatures and I love the design. And I think cool. When they're not replaced with the CGI doubles, they actually work really well just as like a guy in like a suit.
Bloke in a
which
suit.
I think is kind of cool. But yeah. We also meet Liz at one point and and she's
after this encounter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's like hanging out in a mental institution, or is she not in a mental institution?
It sounds quite mental.
Yeah. Mm. It's something like that. But she's there because she exploded at one stage.
She's pyrokinetic.
Is that what her power is?
She can start fire with thought, yes. Pyrokinetic.
Yeah, okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. So then what happens? She meets up with Hellboy, is like, oh, yeah, I'm getting better. I don't want to go back to...
They have a chit-chat.
Yeah, the facility. And pretty much, yeah, just like one of those, like, I want to get back with you. But then she's like, yeah, nah.
Yeah, nah.
And after the conversation...
Thank you, next.
Yeah. After the conversation, Hellboy collapses, doesn't he?
What? No.
He... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's been and then, bit by the thing.
The facility rocks up and there's like a weird slug in his arm and it's implanted larvae in his arm.
Yeah, that's right.
And so then they find out that, yeah, this dog, hell dog thing is the super breeder and keeps like planting eggs everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Catholic wife.
Yeah, it is crazy. Like, I forgot all about that, like, that first encounter with the eggs, and then they become, like, basically the MacGuffin for the whole story.
Basically,
but,
yeah.
They're kind of in the background the whole way through, yep. But, like, I'd forgotten that it was even in his arm at one point. Because later on, right, we find, like, in when they eventually get to Russia, there's, like, a massive mountain of them,
yeah,
right, that he's got to destroy, stockpile. And that's the whole
It's kind of crazy.
That's motivation. Kind of what that's the sort of the whole thing in this movie is they're just trying to stop like demon eggs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Basically.
So they have like this sewer fight at one stage with one of the Cronin Cronin.
Samuel.
Mm-hmm. No, because later on in the movie he goes down into the sewer.
That's right.
And Abe is like, yeah, I'm gonna go for a swim.
Mm-hmm.
So he jumps into the pool thing that happens to be like sewer. Above where the subway station is.
Mm-hmm. Side note, for a fish person who looks wildly aerodynamic, he's a crap swimmer.
Oh, he's terrible.
He's
and those
the slowest
creatures
thing
seem to
ever.
Like really swim really well, and he's just like, you know,
he's
like
garbage.
He's dawdling. Yeah, he's terrible.
He was caught off guard.
And that's because the reason why he sucks so much is because David Hyde Pierce also wasn't doing
Shut
the
up.
Captain. If he was,
Shut up.
He just would have been a much better character overall.
Respect Doug Jones, man. He is the boss.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't
think
know who
you
he
can
is.
Diss Doug Jones like that, especially on a nerd podcast.
I honestly, you will get banned.
You're really asking for trouble if you're ditching.
A podcast will be
dissing,
get banned because
Doug
you're dissing
Jones.
Doug Jones.
I ask for like, trouble every week when I open my mouth.
That's true. Yeah. if you want to fight Paul, you can visit our Facebook page at Nerds Before Birds podcast.
Weird thing, that's not the first time that Jason said that sentence.
No, not at all. But anyway. Yeah, so they have the sewer fight where like basically Abe's gone for a swim with some of the creatures, the semi-owl.
Mm-hmm.
And Hellboy attacks one of them and they fall down this whole like a few
ruins
levels or whatever
of subway.
And end up in and then they end up in a subway train station for some reason. It's underneath the submerged train station. I was trying to work out where the water was going or
don't look too deep into it. Get it?
Yeah, it doesn't really. Yeah, that was so good. So good. Yeah. Anyways, so technically that subway station should be underwater, right? Like that.
Well, technically it is underwater.
Yeah, you're right. You got me there.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. So he saves some kittens from the semi-owl and he kind of, I felt like he was kind of endangering the kittens a bit more than he was actually saving them.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he's like bringing them more into the fight when he could have just handed them off to like the owner and just been like,
slid the box away.
Push them away. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything, anything.
Maybe they were like an emotional support animal for him.
Like maybe he was sapping their lifeblood to keep him strong. And he's actually a massive tool.
Yeah, he's a complete fake cat lover, but he's like
fake fan,
just taking me a fake fan.
Fake fan.
We have that moment, and then Cronin fakes his own death to get into the Bureau of what is it? The Bureau of remember this one.
The BRPD.
Yes, the Bureau of Paranormal Research
Department and
Defense.
Nice. Yep.
That's correct.
Yes, well done. That is. Anyways, so we have like the classic rom-com misunderstanding.
Love triangle.
Yeah.
Where Liz, like what's his name? Myers likes Liz. Liz likes Myers. No one likes Hellboy, but Hellboy likes Liz.
Yes, yes.
So we have the weird love T intersection.
We really do. And Hellboy's like super creepy. He sort of like follows her around and stuff. He's very possessive.
Well, yeah, they go on a date and he's watching love from rooftops.
Yeah, as you do.
As you do.
It's completely normal.
Oh, he's had a pretty sheltered life. He hasn't been able to go out much, you know. Yeah.
Well, anyway, whilst Hellboy and Myers and Liz are all out hanging out in the park and just, you know, being weird.
Yeah, yeah. Cronin. Myers and Liz don't know they're all hanging out, but that's they are with Hellboy. They're all having a moment together.
Well, I mean, what do they say? Like, stalking is when two people go on a lovely moonlit walk, but only one of them knows about it.
What is that?
That's my
ringtone. We now come to you with an end game announcement.
Interrupt this podcast.
Sorry, that was my
Hawkeye
phone.
Confirmed to live after Endgame. That is true, though.
Anyways, getting back to this.
Yep.
What are we talking about?
So while they're on a weird little, let's use the word triple date. Cronin is alive.
He is,
and he hops up, you know, goes and has a little chat with Broom.
He
also
does.
Rasputin now, and pops up somehow.
I've got to say,
and they're having,
I totally thought that Cronin was in this movie a lot more than he actually was.
Yeah, right.
That makes sense. I remember him a lot more like frequently throughout the movie, but he's really not in it that much.
Yeah,
not really.
Because it's like the best thing.
Oh yeah.
Well, he's one of my favorite things about this movie. He's so
he's
cool.
The
he definitely
character.
Looks like really cool. Like he looks, he's got that real awesome look to him. And the way that when they take off the mask and you can see like the eyes sort of cut open and everything.
Oh, it's so gross.
So brutal.
The lips.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the Boba Fett of the movie, you know?
Oh, he definitely is.
Cool looking
and
character.
He's got the world's biggest flick knives on his hands, which is pretty cool.
So cool. They're like knife
pretty
batons.
Cool thing. They are. Mm-hmm. They completely are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at this point, he like sneaks up on Professor Broom and then
Broom has a chat
Broom's
with Rasputin.
Like,
Rasputin tells Broom what Hellboy's true purpose is. And Broom's like, nah. And then Cronin's like, yaha, and stabs him in the back of the neck. So Broom's dead. And they all just chuff off to Russia. As he did.
It's a big character moment for
Broom?
Cronin because... Oh. No, Cronin, because up until this point, he's been a pretty nice character and hasn't really killed anyone. So
no, not at all. Cronin's
really
first
nice
kill.
Guy.
It's memorable.
First kill, yeah. Yeah. It really changes it. I feel for this character.
It changes his attitude a little bit, I think.
He does.
I think he becomes a little meaner.
What? Just a little
movie
bit.
Because
like,
the next
watching?
Time you see him, he's in a hallway full of knives.
Yeah, he's definitely changed as a character.
He's just meaner.
Because of. Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, they bugger off to Russia. And in Russia, they've found another door to open the gate that Rasputin was trying to do. Hellboy and crew realize this and they also go to Russia. And they start fighting everybody. They're like, you are not going to open that door, sir. Yeah. And so they encounter, who is it? It's Myers and No, who's the guy who encounters Cronin? It's Hellboy and that FBI agent.
It's Tom. Tom Manning. Tom. Good is old the Tom. FBI.
Terrible actor Jeffrey in this movie.
Well, terrible. He's not great. No.
I've seen him in other stuff. Much better. I feel like he just wanted money.
He's just cashing checks.
He's cashing checks.
Yeah, so they have the whole showdown with Rasputin where they have a showdown with Cronin. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He has a tiger pit in his house.
I feel like he's, as you do, you know.
Of course.
Everyone has a good tiger pit. Yeah.
I love a good tiger pit.
Yeah. Yeah, I find it a bit impractical when I have friends around to have a tiger pit, but it works. It really brings the house together, I think.
It also helps you don't have to do the subtle, the whole getting late. I might go to bed.
You just push someone into the tiger pit and then everyone goes home.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they go home at some point.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean,
when they're found.
I mean, one of them doesn't go home, but you the rest are like, yeah, let's quickly disperse because you push one into the tiger pit.
And then you send one home in a box.
I completely understand that. Yeah. Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yeah.
So they send Cronin home.
I need to get more friends.
Tiger pit's looking real empty these days. Sun's getting real low, big guy.
Completely. Anyways, so where were we at?
They kill Cronin.
They kill Cronin, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, they drop a big cog on him. Yeah.
Yep. And then Liz, Myers, and Hellboy find a room full of Samael's. So they also where all the egg larvae are that are spawning new Samael's. So Hellboy starts fighting. There's literally a billion of them and he starts losing. Surprise, surprise. So then Liz uses her pyrokineticism to burn the living crap out of everything in that room and somehow herself and Myers.
The whole super sane kind of moment and doesn't kill Myers.
Incorrect use of the term, but I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
So how do you not start with that move?
I know. I feel like fire is the leading move here.
Yeah.
Not fists.
Yeah. And also,
try all the other things first.
Yeah. How come they're all clothed by the end of it? Like their clothes should have just all burnt off, right?
Dude,
at this point.
I know. I've been saying this. I've been saying this the whole time. Clothes aren't flame retardant. So,
I get that Hellboy survives. He's understand fine. That because he says he's fireproof or whatever, but,
His jacket isn't. Leather's not.
Yes. So,
wait, what do you want to try and get out of this movie?
There's some questions.
I feel like that would totally have boosted the ratings up beyond PG-13.
I mean,
for the rest of the movie, they're naked.
It's super awkward for the rest of the movie.
If they're naked, then they have to call it Hell Man.
then Elsa, Myers wakes up and Elsa's there and she's like, thank you for the hand grenades, because there's like
who
a whole heap of hand grenades
is
there.
Elsa, by the way, because
she was
Rasputin's
love interest back in the 40s and he gave her eternal life.
But then what else does she do? She's like in it for two scenes at the start and then she shows up again.
She's kind of like the secretary in this, isn't she?
With Stockholm Syndrome.
PA kind of thing. Yeah, maybe. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like more public relations, maybe. She does flyers for Rasputin and like
she doesn't need to be around
before he goes to places. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, they fight and Hellboy is sort of forced to open the gate to enter the gods of chaos in. Otherwise, he's going to kill Liz. And then Hellboy's like, that's fine, do it. And he doesn't open the gate. And how do they kill Rasputin? Does he just dissolve or some crap?
Oh, no. So he kills Liz and then he has to, he was going to open the gate, but then he doesn't open the gate because they have that really stupid line where they throw the rosemary beads and he's like, remember who you are. It's like, that's how he should have replied. Who am I? Then he's like, I'm not going to open the gate even to save Liz. And then he stabs Rasputin with his horn. Breaks it off and stabs him with it. And then Rasputin says something along the lines of like, you've killed the man, but you've unleashed greater.
The beast. That's
the beast.
And then
whatever.
A big old hentai tentacle monster pops up.
As you do.
Yeah.
Because he was just walking around with that the whole time.
Yeah, just walking around with that inside him. Think about that sentence for a moment.
As you do.
So Hellboy goes to fight him and does the only logical thing, which is jams 7 grenades down its throat. No, he jumps into him with the grenades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And blows him up from the inside.
Yeah, he does like the whole Men in Black thing.
Evolution style. He just
jumps inside and Oh, yeah, Evolution as well.
Evolution or Guardians 2.
Other sci-fi movie
Avengers,
ever.
The first one.
What? Well, see, okay. Oh, yeah. Did those count? Because they came after this. They kind of do the Hellboy thing really by the stage. Good point.
True.
So, yeah. I think you can say it about like Men in Black because that came years before this, but.
Mm-hmm. But Jonah came before Men in Black, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, you're pretty sure.
Blow the whale up.
I'll pay you that.
Just a bit.
Yeah. Did he blow the whale up, though?
No.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened, yeah.
Is it?
He went in the whale with
a grenade. With a grenade belt.
With 9-hand grenades, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's you were there. Bible.
I was there. Jason was there.
Dean was
I was there, too. Yeah. I don't remember it that way, but okay. Yeah.
So they blow up the hentai boy and resurrect Liz, and they have a lovely kiss whilst covered in fire, which once again brings back our argument of clothes aren't not flammable. Yep. So stupid.
So
and that just really took me out of the movie, to be honest.
Then Myers realizes he's the third wheel when he decides to have a voiceover moment at this stage. Mm. And he's like, what makes a man or whatever?
That's and I was like,
yeah. Okay, so you've resorted to being mentor, not boyfriend.
That's
would
right.
Would be so, way more realistic if his voiceover was like, "Well, guess I'm going home alone tonight. I guess that's it.
I guess the love triangle's over.
I might just not return for the sequel."
I was like, "Guess I'm going home tonight. That's okay. Abe's kind of cute, though." And then you got the prequel, The Shape of Water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely the prequel for that.
Brilliant.
Just completely moves into that one. Anyways, so at this stage, we have like obviously Liz has been brought back to life because it's like for her a crossover. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not kissing a dead Liz.
This stage.
Wow.
So we have the end of the movie, and there's a bit of voiceover where, as we said, John Myers takes over the role of John Hurt in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Doing the whole voiceover.
Which you can't follow that guy in a voiceover.
No, you can't, because John Hurt is so much better.
It's John Hurt.
And you also can't come back for a sequel because that character just doesn't come back at all. So, and just then they never made 3. So,
well, he heard that Niles Crane wasn't involved and he just didn't want to touch it. So this is doomed
Shut
to fail.
Up.
David Hyde
Pierce. Yeah, that's completely it. But yeah. What do you guys, out of Birds, what do you give this movie out of Birds? What do you think overall?
I reckon 3 birds.
3 birds, yeah.
3
yeah,
birds. Fair enough. I wanted to give this, I didn't like it that much. I wanted to give it half a bird, but I like David Hyde Pierce and he's worth 2 birds. So I'm going to give it 2.5.
He's only worth 2 birds, though? You don't like him that much, then.
Look, I mean, if they had Kelsey Grammer as well, then you're looking at 7 birds.
I would have given this 5 birds, but David Hyde Pierce was the voice, so I had to take 2 birds off.
So. Yeah, that's fair. I'm in the same boat as Dean.
Oh,
I had to take 2 points off because David Hyde Pierce is in this movie.
Fake fans. So, whatever.
So as a true Doug Jones fan, I would give it 3 birds. Because he's worth 3 on his own.
Just above average. That seems about right.
Yeah, that's why the sequel is a five bird movie.
Yeah.
So Jason hated all of this movie, but just loves Doug Jones.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Is Doug Jones worth $9?
Look, if Doug Jones is listening right now, yes, you're worth $9.
And Doug Jones, if you want a cameo,
you're not listening.
But if Ben Mendelsohn is listening, then no, he's not worth $9.
No. He's not worth $9.
But you are.
Doug Jones, if you want to come on this podcast, please come on. We even will let you have your own voice and we won't replace you with David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah.
Let us know when you're coming on, though, just so we can schedule.
David Hyde beers on as well. Anyways, so I think that brings us to the end of this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the show and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page.
Visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds, where you can donate as little as $1, which is 100 cents, which is 800 cents less than what Jason paid for Hellboy. If you can't donate financially because you too have spent $25 on renting Hellboy on SD on YouTube, even just giving us 5-star reviews on whatever podcast platform you listen.
That's only rented an SD as well.
That's right. You still don't even own it. A 5-star review would be really, really good. Just imagine David Hyde Pierce is with
us. It's funny because he does own it.
Yeah.
He's owned it the whole time.
And you can find us on all socials. We're on Insta. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Nerds Before Birds on all of them except Twitter. And it's just Nerds Before Bird, because Twitter is also not run by David Hyde Pierce, and it's just a little crap.
Shut up.
Yeah, because if it was run by David Hyde Pierce, his name is so long, it wouldn't be able to be on there either. So.
David Hyde Pierce, I think, is 15 characters.
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't do the count. You might
have. It is.
But yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It actually is.
Yeah,
15
you are safe. Wow, well done, Jason.
5, 4, 6.
Look at you.
All right, wrap it up.
All right, well, on that beautiful maths bombshell that David Hyde Pierce is the character limit for a Twitter username, it's a bye from me, guys.
Bye.
It's a bye from me.